This morning I want to talk to you about the Bible. Give me the Bible. As a matter of fact, if your songbooks are handy and you want to turn over to number 500, there's several songs here in our books about the Bible, but number 500 is Give Me the Bible. And I want us to look at the first couple of verses there. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer lone and tempest tossed. No storm can hide that radiance, peaceful beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken. Hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior near. What do you think about the Bible? How badly do you want the Bible? If you did not have the Bible in your life today, to what extent would you go to just to have a Bible? What is your attitude toward it? If a rogue government took over our country somehow and took away all the Bibles, what would you do to get God's Word? Well, turn your Bible this morning with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. We see that the Bible is the way in which God communicates with us. Now, I don't doubt at all if God somehow sent a message down to earth and said that I'm coming down here next week on so-and-so day. I'm sure that we would have international television coverage, and people will be coming from afar to see God and to listen to what He has to say. And this is, in essence, what we have today with our Bibles. God delivers to us His Word, those things which He desires for us to know, and those things which He wants us to do. When I went to Russia, and we were in Kaluga, started a church there, people that we met wanted one thing more than anything else in the world. That was a copy of the Bible. And of course, they would go to great lengths to get a copy of God's Word. We had it there in Russia, Russian, for them to take with them. And we gave them to them so that they could take them and read it and have it all to themselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. Paul says, "Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him." Now I want to pause there for just a moment, and I want us to notice that the wisdom of God was not delivered to man before times, namely in the Old Testament, is delivered to us here in the New Testament. It is a great privilege to live in this day and time in which we have the Word of God revealed after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who entered into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to the apostles and has delivered to you and I things that angels wanted to look at and to understand for ages, and we have it today in the Word of God. Those things which eye has not seen nor ear has heard, they are delivered for us today to see with our own eyes in these words and to hear as they are read aloud. Now verse 10. "For to us," that's the apostles, "God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." And here in the Bible today, we have the things revealed in which God has communicated to us. These things He would have us to know, and these things He would have us to do. Sometimes people ask me, how do I know God is talking to me? How do I know God is talking to me? And I say that it's really quite simple. Get a Bible and read it, and that is God talking to you. He does not talk to men in some supernatural way as he did in the first century. He no longer does those things. We have his word, complete revelation of God. And all we must do is pick up the Bible and read it. You look at the New Testament. How many pages are in your New Testament? How many pages? Maybe 200? 250? Now, somebody out here today was talking about Harry Potter. We heard that in our class over there. We'll talk to him later about... No, I'm just teasing you. And let me tell you what. When J.K. Rowling was coming out with her first novel, the first one was what? 350 pages, something like that. Shortly after that, she started coming out with 800 and some pages. And don't you know that there are some children that practically have that thing memorized? I've got one of them living with me. And has read those things over and over and over and over again. And some thought, children, they'll never read an 800-page novel? That's absolutely ridiculous. And of course they did. Some of them many times over and over. And here we have the Word of God. Just take the whole Bible together. Old Testament and New Testament is not all that big. And then you take just the New Testament. It's smaller than a Harry Potter novel. It's not that much to read. I heard one time calculated that to read aloud orally, now you read slower when you read orally than when you read silently, it only takes about 72 hours to read the Bible. Not much, is it? Doesn't take much at all to read the Bible. The Bible just isn't that big. God succinctly has given us those things He wants us to know, and tell you the truth, quite honestly, it's not that difficult to read the Bible. Sure, some things are hard to understand, as Peter says, but a lot of it is not even hard to understand, especially those things pertaining to salvation, those things which God would have us to do to be saved. John 17:17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." This is truth. This is truth. Justin Martyr was converted, great philosopher, was converted by a man coming up to him and asking a very simple question. The question was, what is truth? And can't you see and imagine the great philosopher opining and waxing some great explanation as to what is truth? He finally learned that the truth is God's word. That is truth. Absolute truth. And he was converted to be one of the greatest leaders among our brethren, especially when it comes to refuting philosophy and other such things as that. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling or dividing the word of truth. And this is what we must do. Go to the Word of God, study it, learn it, know it, accurately handle it, not twisting it as some do, 2 Peter 3:16, to their own destruction, but accurately handling the Word of truth. Well, turn your Bibles over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. The Word of God, it reveals the mind of God. The New Testament, those things which were hidden for ages are revealed within it. It is absolute truth, and therefore we must obey God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. How is it we purified our souls? In obedience to the truth. Why does Peter say that? Because the mind of God is revealed within His Word, within the truth. And we simply must obey those things which are revealed, those things which are commanded. If we do so, our souls are purified. We talked about this in our Sunday morning class. As we talked about salvation in the first lesson of this quarter, Old Testament study. And we talked about this salvation which we have, and that is purifying, to make us holy, sanctified, set apart for spiritual service. How so? when we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And how are we washed in that blood? In obedience to the truth. Verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, and having been made perfect, that's Jesus Christ, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. To all those who obey him, to those who obey him, he is the source of eternal salvation. To those who do not obey, he is not that source of salvation. And so the Word of God reveals God's mind. It is truth. It is absolute truth. And therefore, to be saved and to please God, we must obey His Word. Well, God's Word is a light to our path. In Psalms 119, turn back over there as Joe read for us this morning. Psalms 119. And here David, who was a man after God's own heart, as we read his writings, we see that he had incredible respect for the Word of God. Psalms 119, beginning in verse 105, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, do we think of it that way? Do we think of God's Word as being a lamp, as it being something that illuminates our path? I'll illustrate that in just a second. And verse 130. The enfolding of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. It's like this. I don't know about you. Now, Beth and I are different with this. When Beth gets up in the middle of the night, she doesn't like to turn on any lights. And she'll get up and she'll come back to bed and no lights go on. Now, I'm quite different because I like to see where I'm going. I like to know, is there anything in the way there on the floor? Is there anything that I'm going to trip over? When we lived in the country, I wanted to know if there was a snake laying on the floor. I didn't want to step on a snake. And so I like to have the light on. I don't want to step on anything that's crawling on the floor. Now, Beth, I'll tell you what happened to her one time. She got up in the middle of the night, and many of you know that we have a black dog that lives in the house, and you can't see that black dog in the night if the lights aren't on, and she fell right over the dog. She didn't have a light on. You see, this is what God's Word does for us. It illuminates our path. It helps us to understand if there's anything in the way, if there's an obstacle we're going to trip over, if there's sin in the way. Helps us to see the deceptions and the tricks and the wiles of the devil. Give me the Bible, song number 500, verse 3 says, give me the Bible, all my steps enlightened. Teach me the danger of these realms below. That lamp of safety or the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. Without the Word of God, we would go through this life just blinded by darkness. If there was something here to trip over, we'd trip over. If there was sin here, we would fall into it. The devil was here and had all the tricks and deceptions. We would be deceived by those things. In 2003, we left to take a trip to Indiana, where our parents live, and we left home without the map. And Beth said, we don't have the map. Well, being a typical man, I said, okay, no big deal. We have left. We are not going back home. I'm not going to turn around for anything. Well, she finally twisted my arm enough, and we went back for the map. And, you know, I was so glad that we did. Because as we're going through here and we're trying to think, we're going a new way. How do we get this way going up through here? Couldn't remember for anything. And as we're going on this trip, I said to myself, you know, if we didn't have that map, we would get lost for sure. It would take us so much more time to get there. We'd be all turned around. We'd have to stop and ask for directions, and we'd be lucky if somebody knew where we were going or whatever it was. I was so glad we went back to get the map. That's what God's Word is. It's our map of life. It tells us, is it okay to turn here or should we turn there? It tells us there's construction here. There's obstacles in the way. You need to go this way. That's what the Word of God does. One time I was teaching a band camp while I was in college. And, you know, I was going to be the, you know, I was going to be the something here, you know, the big guy, you know. So I got all the kids together and we had a bonfire and I start telling scary stories. And boy, let me tell you what, I had them all scared. And then it's nighttime. And then I'm going to lead them all out in the woods. I'd never been out in those woods. I just figured I can go in those woods. I'm a man. I can find my way out. Well, I got lost with 100 and some kids following me. I'm lost in the middle of the woods. And I'm afraid to admit to anyone, we're lost. We don't know where we're going. I have no idea how to get out of these woods. And so then I had the kids all, pretending like this was part of the thing, start yelling for help. And they didn't know that I was really lost and I really needed some help. Finally, we came upon some counselors who had snuck out in the woods and they were going to scare all of the kids. And I was so thankful because there was no way I would ever get us out of that, out of the woods. Why? I went out in the woods at night in the dark and I had no light. No light whatsoever. And I tell you what, if somebody wouldn't have come out there and got us, and if it would have stayed night and the sun never come up again, I don't doubt I'd still be in those woods today. Because I didn't have a light. I couldn't see where we were going. I didn't know where we were going. I didn't know how to get out or anything. And can't you imagine being trapped in the world of darkness and sin and not knowing how to get out? How do I get out of this sin? How do I change my life to make it better? To become a Christian? And even as a Christian, to have a better life. How do I do that? You know, there's only one place we can find that answer. And it's right here. Where else do you find the answer? You don't find it anywhere else. This is the Word of God. God is our Creator. God is our Maker. God is in control of everything. Jesus tells us He even knows how many hairs are on your head. And He is the one who has told us, who has given us the light, who has illuminated our path, who's explained the way and given us the roadmap of life. He is the one who's done this. And this is the one and only book with the answer. And I'll tell you something else. It's got every answer we need. Now, it may not have every answer that we want. Because of curiosity, we may want to know this or this or this or this, and the answer may not be there, but for every question necessary for man to answer, the answer is right here. Isn't that fantastic? And if it was up to man to write such a book, what would be the size of this book? Sometimes I do a lesson, and it's teaching us how to do research with the Bible. And I will have stacks of books up here. I mean, I have just as many books as I can get up here. And that's what man does. Man writes volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes. I've got some commentaries, stacks of one set of commentaries must be up to about right here. Somebody just trying to explain what the Bible says. That's not the way God does it. Very short, succinct, with everything we need to know right here. Give me the Bible. Proverbs 16:25, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. If we did not have the Bible, the Word of God, what would be the result? None of us would know the right way. None of us would know the way to be saved. None of us would know what God would have us to do to please Him. We would all be lost without God's Word. Using God's Word, our path is lit. We walk in the light. We're saved. and we please God. Turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. As Gary said with the announcements, there's no clock back there. I have no idea what time it is. You know, when I was a kid, I used to have a pocket watch. I didn't wear a watch on my wrist, and so now I use the watch that's in my pocket. That's my cell phone. I don't bring my cell phone in here. I have no idea what time it is. Dick Rayburn said one time, you know, Brother Phillips used to preach for an hour. I said, I don't know if I can stand to hear myself for a whole hour, you know. But I don't know if I preach for an hour. I mean, I have no idea. I don't know what time it is. I don't know whether to speed up, slow down, or whatever it is. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. This is what the Word of God does for us. Here, as Jesus had communicated to the Apostle Paul, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. So this is the purpose of the Word of God, to turn away from darkness, to walk in the light, to turn to God. As the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, as we obey Jesus Christ, that God rescues us from the dominion of darkness. Think about someone who's lost at sea. Think about someone who goes overboard. And you know, there you can be out in the middle of the ocean. I don't know about you. I like to watch documentaries on these boats that go way out in the ocean and they fish. And you know, if you go overboard with some of these things, they're so far out before they can turn the boat around and they can help you, you're long gone. I went fishing one time with some friends. We went all night long. We went way out. I mean, you couldn't see the land or anything like that. None of us had on any life jackets. And I got sick as a dog. And so here in the middle of the night, I'm here hanging over the middle, the edge of the boat. And we're way, way, way far out of land. And I got thinking about that later. That was the stupidest thing in the world. Because if I went overboard, within a matter of seconds, there would be no possible way for them to find me. And I certainly wouldn't be able to swim very long. And so this is what God does for us through His Word. He rescues us. Think about being lost at sea and someone just snatches you out and puts you back in the boat, rescued from the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles very quickly over to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Just a few passages in John. And as you remember, John, in writing this gospel, is very concerned about a few things: the deity of Christ and the truth, as these things are emphasized. In the beginning was the Word, verses 1 through 4. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Jesus Christ is life and the light of men. These things, as they are delivered to us through the Word of God, Jesus Christ is the Word, He is life, and He is light. To walk in Jesus Christ is to walk in the light. Turn over to John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then flip over to John chapter 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way. I am the path. This is the path you must walk on. I am the truth. I am the right way. I am the true way. And I am the life. The end of your path ends in eternal life. When we walk in the light of God's Word, we are lights to the world. Got a moon there on the slide. The moon reflects the sun's light. You as a Christian reflect the sun's, S-O-N apostrophe S, light. And I believe that's the way that it works. We in and of ourselves are not necessarily light. Just as the moon. Without the sun, the moon would be nothing. The moon would be dark. We couldn't see the moon. And we as Christians are not necessarily light just because of ourselves. Without God and His Word, we would be dark. We would not know the right way to go. We would not know the way of life. We could not be saved. But because of God and because of His Word and because of Jesus Christ, we are light. In essence, we are illuminating the light of God in our lives. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Our light is God's light. We are reflecting that light. We are illuminating that light. And therefore, when others see us and they see the things that we do, they glorify God because of the good works we do. They're not the good works of ourselves, but the good works of God. And they glorify God. Philippians chapter 2, 15 and 16. In the middle of things here, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. Doing what? Holding fast the word of life. As we do these things, we are lights to the world. And we're living in this crooked and perverse generation. Crooked and perverse. And we like the path that says, no, this is the wrong way to go. Say, this path over here, it's crooked, it's perverse, it's full of sin. And we point these things out by the life which we live. Turn your Bibles over to John chapter 12, back over to John, and now chapter 12, verse 36. John 12, 36. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. God's Word is light. When we walk in His Word, we walk in the light. And walking in the light, we are sons of the light, not sons of darkness. As John also says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10, that you're either a son of God or a son of the devil. You're either the son of the light or the son of darkness, either one. And so it is our choice. Do we go to the Word of God? Do we go to the light? And do we do those things? And do we walk in the pathway of light? And if we do so, we're children of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 and 5. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. And then turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 5 and we will conclude with this scripture. Ephesians chapter 5 and beginning in verse 7. God's Word is light. It illuminates our path. It shows the way to God. It shows the obstacles and the sin that may be in the way. It shows the perverse way of darkness. In verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them, those who are living in sin. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. This is what we do as Christians. This is the essence of being a Christian, a child of God, a son of the light, is to expose darkness. those things which are evil and perverse and sinful. And the choices we make as Christians, according to the Word of God, to live as He would have us to live, in essence, it exposes these things. As we are doing the right things, as we are walking on the right path, as we are walking in the light, others will contrast our life with others, and darkness is exposed. Sin is exposed. This is a great privilege which we have as Christians, not to participate in those things of darkness, but to expose them as we walk throughout this life. Give me the Bible. God communicates to us through His Word in the Bible. God's Word lights our path. It shows us the way to heaven. It shows us the right way to go. It shows us the right decisions to make in our life. When we walk in God's light, we are lights to the world. And that is the greatest thing man could ever do. And that is to teach others the truth. In essence, by the things that you do, by the way that you speak, by the places you go, by the way you conduct yourself in everything that you do, you're leading others to God. You're showing the path of light for all those who would desire to go to God to be saved. They simply need to walk on the same path as you walk. Can you say in your life, I'm going to heaven? If you want to go to heaven, walk on this path with me, the path of light. I hope you can say that today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for the deeds in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And Jesus says, John chapter 12, verse 47, the word I spoke is what would judge him at the last day. Indeed, the Lord has given us His Word. He's given it to us to light our path. But also, He's going to judge us by it one day as to whether we walked on this path. If you're not on that path today, you can begin walking on it today. In obedience to Jesus Christ, as He simply commanded us to believe in Him, unless you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. To repent of our sins, simply to turn away from the wrong, to do the right. Change of heart, reflected in a change of action. To confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins, wash in the blood of the Lamb, and the Lord will set you on that path today. Rescue you from the domain of darkness and place you in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We can be of assistance to you today. Won't you step to the front as we stand and sing?